Peace, Ty.
Hello, Wildcat fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And my name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 84 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 84 starts out with Troy saying, "It really is," and ends with some inspirational music while Troy is thinking.
Yeah, is the "it really is" in response to "that's lousy, man"?
I think so.
It do be like that sometimes, Troy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, it's minute 84, Condra.
It is indeed. And Chad and Troy are talking it out. They're going over Troy's problem.
Did you know that we only really have about 33 minutes left of this movie?
That is wild. There is so much that's going to happen.
I mean, it's a good thing when a movie can, like, really blow your mind with the last act.
But
yeah, this movie's leaving a lot of cards on the table right now.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's movie's going to be about 117 minutes long. And we're going to do all of them.
It's a pretty big jump from, I mean, all the last ones were just under 90. And this
I think High School Musical 2 was like 102 minutes or something.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't think any of them were under 90, but Fantastic Mr. Fox was just under 90. Are you?
Maybe I'm going all the way back to season one. Yeah. Wishful thinking.
I know. Yeah. If this was Fantastic Mr. Fox, we'd be almost at the credits right now.
I know. So Troy and Chad are chatting.
Chad's chatting. Chad says, "You don't bring the girl with you after high school. Everybody knows that."
I have qualms, Chad.
Yeah.
Just because it's improbable doesn't mean it's impossible. And I feel like Troy and Gabriella, if they wanted to,
they could have made it, man.
They could make it.
They could have gone all the way.
Yeah. I just...
to marriage.
Chad's... yeah, I just don't love Chad's, like, blasé-ness.
Yeah, it's very interesting because we get this, like, emotional support conversation from, like, the male best friend.
Yeah.
And I guess it's almost like a realistic version of it where, like, Chad's not saying the perfect things. He's saying what Chad would say.
Yeah.
Which in many ways is, like, good writing.
Yes.
It's not like he's not saying that the things that Troy necessarily needs to hear right now.
Or wants to hear.
Yeah. He's saying the things that Chad would say in this moment. And some of them are a little interesting. Like he's not being totally unempathetic in this conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that the line that definitely does rub me the wrongest way is that "you don't bring the girl with you after high school." Just because it's like, I don't know. It's not like a sexism thing. I don't know. Maybe it is.
I think, yes, some of it is. I also think, like, too, if we're looking at Mr. and Mrs. Bolton, they presumably were high school sweethearts or very close. Like, they were a young couple when they had Troy. Like,
yeah, this is all, like, super subtext in the movie. People being like, well, Jack Bolton is only X years old. The actor playing him is super young. So that means that he would have been super young when he had Troy. And that means that his, like, pressuring Troy into being a basketball star is just like him trying to live vicariously through his son. And it's like, yeah, like it is that. But like it doesn't change Troy's feelings in the story about like his dad putting too much pressure on him.
No, and not that I'm saying that or anything, but just like Chad reading the room. And I also realized I might have just gotten it confused with the other Zac
17
Efron.
Again?
Yeah.
No, it's kind of both. That's why.
Yeah. but also like Chad comparing Troy and Gabriella's relationship to Chad and Taylor's relationship. Those are two very different things. Like Chad and Taylor's relationship is the, like, epitome of high school proximity relationship.
This is temporary at its definition, yeah. Well, leading up to that, Chad says, like, you know, Gabriella, she's always one step ahead.
Yeah.
Which I like, this isn't 3D chess. I don't know, like, what the analogy you're going for here is.
And just if, even if Gabrielle is a step ahead, doesn't mean it's the right step. She's still fallible.
He tells Troy to snap out of it, which is not great advice, but
no,
it's kind of like a fake it till you make it type thing. It was like, this isn't something you like, this is something that you can and should be sad about, but also like, you can feel better if you choose to, you know, get out and do things instead of wallow.
It, but obviously he literally just got told it. Like, it is raw. You've had what? It's been what? A minute and a half since Gabriella broke up with you? Get over it.
I think he's trying to the problem is that, like, trying to convince someone that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but you don't have, but you don't go around the tunnel. You have to go through the tunnel to get to the light. You don't avoid the tunnel. You have to process the emotions. I like that analogy that I just came up with. Yeah. I'm smart.
Chad he's trying to reroute Troy's thought processes, like, Gabriella's going to Stanford. Taylor's going to Yale. You and I are going to U of A. It'll be a whole new ball game.
I love that phrase.
And then Troy's like, maybe I don't see it as a ball game anymore. Like,
my life is not a ball game, Chad.
Don't trivialize my feelings.
And then Troy turns and looks at his nightstand where he's got a basketball and a photograph, a framed photo of Gabrielle.
And a basketball lamp.
And a basketball It's like, I guess this movie has done less subtle things. And I'm not even poking fun at this movie for doing something tacky, because honestly, this just is set decoration, and it's Troy looking at something and thinking about things, and that is good sort of emotional storytelling. But it's just so funny. He's got a basketball and a picture of Gabriella, as if he's like, which path should I take? Neither is kind of the one that he's looking at, so.
Yeah. It's very funny how literal Troy's brain can be sometimes, or the depiction of Troy's brain.
No, I totally understand Chad's mindset here. Is like, these things that are temporary, they go away, but me and you, buddy, we're always going to be here, and I'm always going to be here for you, is sort of the message that he's going for.
Which is really nice, but also Troy's not been... which is really nice, but Chad's not been a great listener in this movie, and in general, and, like, Troy has dropped some pretty solid hints about, like, is he going to U of A?
Yeah, no contracts have been signed.
Chad's never taken a minute to be like, hey, is this what my friend is saying?
Yeah, which makes me think, like, maybe the movie does end with Troy going to Juilliard.
Whole new fresh start. Get away from everyone.
He really ladybirds it up at the end. Oh, wait, you haven't seen that movie, Condra? No, you got to see Lady Bird.
Heather, we were just talking about how neither of us have been to the movies in, like, multiple weeks because we have no time.
Yeah, I know. But Lady Bird is not in the movie theater. It's at home.
I know. What does that mean, that I have time to watch something at home?
It's also got Timothy Chalamet in it.
Yeah.
It's Greta Gerwig. Anyway, So, yeah, Chad and Troy are talking. Like I said, Chad's showing a little bit of empathy. Like, hey, I feel the same way you feel because I'm in a relationship that I also know is going to be over. And I am realizing that there exists a world beyond that. And I have support systems. Like, Chad's almost saying, like, I'm looking to lean on you in the future. And it's a mutual thing. Like, you can also lean on me. As we said, it's not necessarily what Troy has been looking for. Maybe he's tired of Chad. Like,
yeah. Chad has not matured in the ways that Troy has.
But I think a lot of people get this after high school where it's like, do I want to hang out with those people from high school anymore? And then you do, and it's usually fun. Like, you think you're tired of them, and sometimes there are, like, you after high school, you, like, realize who you were actually friends with. and who you were just proximity friends with. And I don't see Troy and Chad like not being friends anymore after high school, but
yeah, their history goes so deep.
Maybe, yeah, maybe they do need a little bit of space. Like, if they were freshman year roommates, like, that would be a lot for them. That would
be bad, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I also can't speak from that experience. I kept in contact with no one from high school. My friend group exploded at the end of my senior year, and I had no one. You have kept in contact with some folks, so you're much more the expert here.
Yeah, but even for me, I only actually talked to, like, two people from high school.
And I think that indicates, like, who remain, like you were saying, like, who you were able to keep in touch with.
Yeah, you can call people on the phone. People never really go away.
You can text them. Send them a funny meme.
Yeah, I guess this conversation, because it's a little bit more logical and actually rooted in characters, there's not much to say. I like this move that Troy does where he's, like, lying on his back. And then Chad says something that, like, he doesn't quite love. So he, like,
rolls turns over on his stomach
to sort of face away from him a little bit more distinctly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did appreciate that, like, character movement. I think it was he turned when Chad compared him to his own relationship. He's like, no, thanks.
And we do get, I mean, maybe I think we've talked about it, but we do get this, like, very distinct confirmation. Like, Taylor is going to Yale.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah.
Would have been interesting if we had a moment for, like, Taylor to celebrate this.
Yeah. That's, like, a big deal.
Have a scene earlier in the movie that, like, seeds this idea of, like, Taylor gets an acceptance letter. She's going to Yale. And Chad is kind of just, like, sitting there being like, well, I guess I knew this was coming. Feels bad, I guess, that I know that this relationship won't last, but I knew that this relationship wouldn't last. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of foreshadows the Troy and Gabriella thing. Like, there are so many things that you could do to make this movie more interesting.
We have to deal with the cards we were given, Tyler.
Can't read my poker face.
I do like that Chad gives Troy an alternate. He's like, even if Gabrielle is not going to be a prom, you can still go to prom with your friends. Like, we're all going. You can still have a good time.
Well, he doesn't even say it like that. He says, you know, you're going to go to prom. You're going to be there with all your friends. You're going to have fun. Like, it's not even you can, it's you will.
Well, and Troy is like, yeah, I'm not missing my prom.
And he does it with a little bit of a smile on his face. So, like, I mean, that's also the smile that you would do, like, if you were going to do something evil at prom, like Carrie, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if he was doing an evil villain face, like, yes, I will go to prom.
It's like, is there anyone not paired off in the friend group that they could go as friends? Like, Kelsey's going with Ryan, Taylor and Chad are going together. Who's Martha going with? Who's Sharpay going with?
This is true. I think Sharpay's the only backup.
Or Tiara Gold.
Tiara Gold, yeah. She's an underclassman.
But she's still in the play, so it wouldn't be, like, crazy weird for Troy to ask her.
One of the random cheerleaders would honestly make the most sense.
Yeah.
Like that blonde girl that's been in all three movies. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we're buds. Can you come to prom with me? Although I would assume she already has a date.
Yeah. Made me Padma Patel doesn't have a date yet.
Nice.
All right, well, do you want to do the Decom of the Week segment?
Sure.
Cue the music. Well, we're crossing over things this week, Condra, so both of us have come with a Disney intellectual property that we will combine into a Voltron of entertainment delights.
Indeed. What are you bringing to the table today, Tyler?
I got a Goofy movie. Have we done a Goofy movie yet?
I don't think we have. And, you know, that's a great pairing with my extinct Disney park attraction, The Submarine Voyage.
Oh, boy. So is this like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
So this is the knockoff version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So there were two submarine rides in Disney World and Disneyland, respectively. And one of them was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, had a Kraken. You were on the Nautilus. And then the other one was a generic version. So you saw a sea monster and scuba divers and Atlantis and fish and a coral reef. So I'm thinking the generic one.
Is there a reason that the knockoff one wasn't 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Like, was it the same ride system?
Yeah, it was the same ride system. And they had a 20,000 Leagues, like, walkthrough area where you could see some props and stuff. But I think it was just so they didn't have the exact same ride on both coasts.
Which is not an opinion that they have anymore. That the different parks should be different.
Yeah. So, all right. So Goofy Movie, which is about Goofy and his son Max taking a road trip to inevitably go see Powerline's concert. But it's also like a family bonding movie.
I don't think I've actually seen a Goofy Movie, but I just know the plot is that Goofy is an embarrassing dad.
Yeah.
And they go on a road trip and eventually they end up at a Powerline concert, which I don't know if that was their ultimate goal or not. Even
I think Max kind of tricks Goofy into it.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, so.
There's also an extremely Goofy Movie, which is the sequel.
Yes.
Were both of them direct to DVD, or was first Goofy Movie a theatrical?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't have been I don't know if I was alive when the first one came out, so.
We were talking about Disney Toons recently. It's not super nice. Important.
Yeah.
The only reason I said that was because we have the intellectual property of a Goofy Movie. So I don't know what happens in the second one. I think most people are just sort of invested in the, like, Goofy and his son Max, and also maybe Powerline, if you can get it in there. There's this idea of, like, it being a family road trip franchise. I would assume an extremely Goofy Movie is either the exact same formula or something so uninspired that it's not going to move the needle on our pitch for a combination with an underwater adventure anyway.
So it was a theatrical release, just so you know, but it was a spinoff of the Goof Troop TV show during, like, the peak Saturday morning cartoons, like your Rescue Rangers, your Gummy Bears. Goof Troop was another one of those, like, morning cartoons.
But is Goofy's son Max in Goof Troop?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, anyway, it's a father-son thing.
Yeah, it's a father-son thing. And I know Pete is in it too, but I don't know how he's in it. And then Max has a love interest named Roxanne.
Yeah, and we could go with that or not. Like, it doesn't super matter. I feel like love interest for, like, this kind of movie is always fair to be, like, a one-off. Like, you go to a different location and there's another cute girl that the teenager develops a crush on. Like,
yeah. I think, because, like, part of Goofy Movie is Goofy. I know there's, like, fishing involved. Like, Goofy wants to go on a fishing trip with Max, and Max doesn't want to go fishing.
I mean, yeah, it seems pretty straight up. Like, instead of going on, like, a car road trip, they, like, sign up to go on a submarine trip.
Or I feel like Goofy books the wrong thing for the fishing trip. Like, he books a submarine instead of a boat. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, he signs up for, like, a raffle contest because he thinks it's a fishing cruise, but it's actually a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ripoff. You could even do, like, a line of humor about that.
Yeah, it could be the Nautilus.
Yeah. Oh, that's totally a joke that's in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, like, there keep almost being 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea references, but not. And honestly, the other thing that you have here is, okay, is it like a squeezed in thing where it's like everybody's cramped into this, like, small submarine? Or is it like basically a cruise ship, but it's underwater?
Ooh, I like that idea just because I think, like, maybe Goofy got this from Scrooge McDuck or something, and it's like, of course you can borrow my ship to go fish, to go see the fish with your son. And like that misinterpretation, and he gets this like advanced tech kind of deal, kind of like a DuckTales.
Is it just Goofy and Max though? Like,
I feel like maybe like Launch McQuack or something. Like, we have to have someone to drive the vessel.
But there's also got to be like other random strangers around for Max to be embarrassed.
Oh, that's true.
About,
like, so is it like a submarine cruise? Yeah, like that's got many people on board.
Maybe not many people, but maybe there's like a select few.
I think the tricky thing though is like his group of friends, like, are teenagers. Like, how are they getting on board? Like, how is he going to be embarrassed?
Maybe we do a little bit of Titanicing, and there's like a, like an upper class deck and a lower class deck, and the like lottery tickets they won to like get on the cruise are like just the cheapest ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Titanic meets a Goofy movie.
No.
Meets underwater adventure.
I see, where I think it would be more fun is if they wound up in Atlantis. Like, not Atlantis the movie, but like just the concept of Atlantis.
Well, I mean, at this point, we're doing Disney crossover.
I know, but Atlantis is so different than the Atlantis and submarine voyage.
Goofy can't meet the Atlantis people? You're saying that's not logical? I don't believe it.
I feel like Milo and Kida, it just doesn't work.
I agree. I like the idea of like you're underwater and you're seeing like fish and underwater sea creatures, but they are like animated in the like cartoony goofy way.
Yeah.
Like how Flounder from The Little Mermaid doesn't look like an actual fish.
Yeah. He's got a nose and lips.
You could even have a Flounder cameo, honestly.
Yeah. Flounder's appeared in, yeah, many underwater scenes because they're like, oh, it's Flounder. But I think them, like, getting stuck somewhere, like, at an Atlantis or, like, in a coral reef or something, and they have to help a situation, like...
Well, is this, like, the main plot of the movie, or is it there like three or four different things that they do on their way? Do they end up at an underwater Powerline concert?
Yeah, the undersea version of Powerline.
Well, yeah, because they're laying underwater cables to connect electricity.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't remember the Goofy movie all that well, so I don't know if it's like there are multiple like goof up moments or if it's like one major thing.
I think it's a road trip movie.
So they get stuck in a coral reef and have to help Flounder, and then they like get lost in Atlantis.
The problem is like with a and this makes an interesting challenge. With a road trip movie, the conceit is like you don't know who you're going to meet at every stop, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like, yeah. Every place he stops, he meets a new person that sort of offers a character perspective or presents a challenge for how to interact with this particular scene. And through charm or charisma or luck, the character in your road trip movie navigates in or out of that dynamic in each location with each new character. With an underwater version, you're stuck with the same people that are on whatever submarine you're on with you.
Or they run into underwater people.
But are there just going to be mermaids and talking fish? Like...
I feel like we might have precedent for that in the Mickeyverse. Like, I feel like there might be mermaids in the Mickeyverse. I'm not confident on that, but like...
Does like Goofy really want to see a mermaid? And Max like, Dad, mermaids aren't real and they're not going to fall in love with you. And there's like a Goofy mermaid, like a...
Oh, I was like thinking it's a man. He meets a manatee.
And he goes, Gorsh, that's a real mermaid. And Max is like, you know what, Dad? You're actually right. This is beautiful. That actually is a really good moment, actually. Like,
yeah.
All movie, like, he's like drawing pictures of like the Goofy mermaid that like looks like him but is a fish person.
Yeah.
And then and he finally sees a manatee and is like, that's it. And Max is like, oh, you're not you're not being like weird or creepy. You're just like being a goofy dad, and that's kind of lovable.
Yeah.
That definitely is a goofy movie thing. Okay. So that's one of them.
That's like one of the final ones.
But that's like a weird like nature thing where it's like it's a little understated. That's not really what a goofy movie is going for. They're like, yeah, I guess they're like going to the Cove of the Mermaids.
Yeah.
Mermaid Cove.
Are we in Peter Pan? Which is kind of
Peter Pan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's like the second to last thing, and then they go to the Powerline concert. Underwater.
Do
city
they do like
Powerline
some coral reef
concert.
Like they meet, oh, what's his name? The
Nemo? Marlin?
No. The duck from Duckburg, that's the scientist one. Ludwig von Duck. That's his name. Sorry, it took me a minute.
Great. I barely know Launchpad McQuack.
He's the duck that which cartoon is he in?
Ducks famously can dive underwater to go get food.
But I feel like he'd be like scuba diving, researching the coral or something. Like there's some sort of like coral quest.
Underwater movie is so hard because
it is so hard. Because like you should be just stuck on board, but we want to get them out of the boat. Or maybe something's like weird on the cruise experience. Like there's a dance or like a teen dance or something. And
maybe. Can we also have like a Hunt for Red October like sequence where there's like an enemy submarine?
I mean, yeah, we could.
They have to fire torpedoes.
No, we're not firing torpedoes.
And it's during the dance? Come on.
I don't know how I feel about torpedoes. Because like we don't want Pete to die. Because presumably Pete would be on the other submarine.
Maybe it's like a ghost submarine.
Ooh, I like a ghost ship idea. That's fun.
I thought this was going to be so much easier, but underwater is impossible. Because the only underwater movies are like submarine like war movies.
Or Atlantis.
Or,
which is also kind of a war movie.
Yeah, like or like fish movies where there's like freedom. I guess I've never seen 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Like, at that point, it's like, it's Star Trek, but underwater. Like,
or, yeah, it's like a Moby Dick kind of.
Yeah. Wait, was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea also Herman Melville? Is that, like, literally?
No.
Or is those just, like, they're from a similar time period?
Similar okay. time period, I think. 20,000 Leagues is Jules Verne.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're totally right. Same person as Journey to the Center of the Earth, which is, correct. Like, the other thing that I'm thinking of, like, you find like a thing that's underwater and it's like about exploring the thing, but that's not what Goofy and Max are going to do.
No.
All right. So there's like a teen. So there's other people on the boat. It's not like a huge cruise where there's like 1,000 people on board.
Yeah.
But maybe there's 50 or 100 people on board and there's like 8 other teens there.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, we'll host a dance for these 8 teens. And it's super awkward. And Max is like, I don't want to do this. And Goof's like, come on, son, you can do it.
And there's like, sorry, is that when they encounter the ghost submarine enemy?
I think, yeah, I think ghost submarine while dance, I think it's a good idea.
Because there's always this like Star Trek idea of like anytime the Enterprise is about to get into a showdown with some Romulans or whatever. There's also just like children in the school classroom on board because there's also just citizens on this flagship.
Yeah.
So, this idea that both could be happening at once. And during the dance, there's like this red alert that goes off that causes all the teens to like, maybe they think it's like the club music and the sirens start going off and they're like, oh, this is like, this is a party now. And then they start having a good time and they don't even realize they're in danger.
Yeah, I like that. I don't want Max to be involved with the ghost ship, I think.
But does like Goofy suddenly like save the day?
Yeah, I think he accidentally saves the day. Like he hits the wrong button kind of thing.
And it fires the torpedoes at the ghost ship.
No. Like I bet they like lose cargo or something. Like it's something less severe.
Okay. I was going to say, like, he hits the torpedoes button because he thought it said tacos.
And wants Max to have a good snack.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a better food that rhymed with torpedoes.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Tostitos.
Just anyway. A little bit of product placement in the middle of our goofy movie.
All right. So there's that. There's that. I guess they try to fish.
Yeah.
And we get like a sort of a redo of the fishing scene from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
However that goes. And then you got your manatee mermaid thing. Maybe Goofy leads a mutiny on the captain. No.
No.
I think at some point Goofy's got to like become the de facto captain of the ship.
Or maybe he gets a medal for stopping the ghost. Like it's a ghost ship recognition. Like while the Powerline concert's happening, Goofy like gets a medal.
Maybe. I think there's got to be a situation where like the captain and the first officer like leave, or it's like an airplane situation where they get sick. And then, like, Goofy's got to pilot the submarine. I think
Goofy's the reason that he bonks their head accidentally and he's got a course correct or something.
All right. I think that makes sense. Like, yeah, he's visiting the cockpit with Max because everybody gets to visit the cockpit at least once. And then accidentally Goofy's them unconscious and then they have to pilot the submarine. All right. So that's another shtick. And then, yeah, they get to the underwater city where Powerline is doing a concert in recognition of the accomplishment of undersea cables bringing electricity to the underwater city. And it's actually the city from BioShock, the video game, and it becomes a weird anti-libertarian capitalism satire about the risks of a too free market. No, not that far.
I know very little about BioShock, so I'm...
No, okay. I mean, I think we hit some points.
Yeah.
They end up at an underwater concert at the end, and they dance with the fishes, which is kind of like sleeping with the fishes, but not.
Yeah. It's more under the sea and less poor unfortunate souls.
Yes. Well, that was an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
At some point, they see a giant kraken or an octopus or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, there is a Mickey Mouse short that does, they're like on a submarine and Mickey sees the Kraken from, it's like a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea spoof. So.
Is that where they call it the Nautilus?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I like my joke still. So that was minute 84 of High School Musical 3 Senior Year and a crossover between the ride Submarine Voyage and a Goofy movie.
I'm sorry that just was a mess.
Until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
On Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite Goofy movie is. Which one of the two?
Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out if Troy goes to prom next, if he does the play next. What's happening in this movie? We'll find out. You can bet on it.